afternoon, and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. We'll be here for the next hour. You're listening to 94.5 WGTK FM in Greenville, South Carolina. However far the signal reaches, how far you can hear me on here. You can also go to the station website, Conservative Talk 94.5. Click Listen Live link button, or go to TuneIn Radio, your TuneIn app, or on your computer, either one, and pick up the show there. And also podcast these to the website, woodsandwatersouthcarolina.com. Anybody want to take a guess or remember what the temperature was a year ago this morning in South Carolina? I know, because I was on a boat in Lake Hartwell. Looked like a blue Michelin man. It was cold. It was, I think, 9 or 10 degrees. You know, the Bassmaster Classic was going on. And coincidentally, we're going to be talking to Casey Ashley at the second half of the show. He's going to join us for a few minutes, talk about the offseason and all. But I had the honor and really had a good time talking to Bob Clauser yesterday, recorded a segment with him for today's show. If you don't know, Bob Clauser invented the Clauser minnow. If you fly fish, you probably got, I don't know, a couple of dozen of them, depending on if you use them freshwater and saltwater, or more if you're, you know, smallmouth fishing probably. But anyway, had a really good interview. I'm going to go straight on to it. Takes up most of the first half of the show. And then I'll say something about, because he's going to be here in South Carolina in Charleston next weekend. So listen to the interview I had with Bob Clauser, and I'll pick you up right before the bottom of the hour break. If you haven't heard, the Shallow Water Expo is coming to Charleston, courtesy of Hadrill's Point. Two locations down in Charleston the next weekend, which is February 27th, 28th. And one of the legends in fly fishing is going to be there. We're privileged to have Mr. Bob Clauser on Woods and Water. Welcome, and thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time, Mr. Clauser.
Hey, I appreciate being on here.
this is quite an honor for me. Wow, I mean, everybody knows the Clauser minnow. Used it a lot. Mostly I love it around dock lights for trout down along the coast and all, either a white with some flash in it or black some flash in it. But, man, the Clauser minnow, everybody knows it. That's your fly. Is it really true that Lefty Crane named it after you designed it?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
I had this fly back in 1983 and 84.
Okay.
And I called him one day on the phone. I said, Lefty, you got to come up here and fish Susquehanna River. I said, I got a fly that these bass are jumping in the boat to bite on. And, of course, he just laughed, you know,
sure,
like crazy. And he come up, and I handed him a handful of them, and he looked at him, and he said, Bob, are these done? And I said, yeah, they're done. I said, why put everything on the hook that you don't need?
Yeah.
He just laughed, and he took them out on the river. He had a fellow from the Maryland TU with him, and,
okay,
and they went out on the river, and I said, I got a lot of work to do here in the shop, and I said, I'll come out about 3:30 or so to see how you guys are doing. So I did. And I pulled my boat up aside of his, and he had another type of fly on it we all use, you know. And I said, how come you're not using my fly? And he said, I'm testing. And the guy in the back of the boat, he had a smile from ear to ear.
Oh,
he said,
wow.
Bob, thank you. He said, I just out-caught Lefty Cray 10 bass to 1.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Lefty says, what are we going to do with this fly? I said, heck, I don't know. And I said, I don't even know what to call it. He says, Bobby, it goes deep, and it was tied by Clauser, so it's Clauser's Deep Minnow.
There you go. Man, what a story.
Just that quick is how he came up with that name like that. And I said, okay, sounds good to me. Let's give it a try.
Sure. And it's an amazing fly. You developed it for smallmouths.
Yes.
I use it in salt water. Everybody knows the Clauser minnow. It goes both ways. Tell us about it, really. I mean, let's rabbit trail a little bit.
Yeah, I can relate a little bit to you why it's really effective. And,
okay.
And it's just between, it was Lefty's and my theory on how this thing evolved and why we think it works so good. It wasn't because it looks like a minnow or the way it's tied.
Okay.
It's the action of the fly. him and I was on the Chesapeake Bay casting for stripers. And we're using Lefty's Deceivers, okay. You know, which at times, that's one of my other favorite flies if I don't want a fish a weighted fly.
Okay.
And we were getting a lot of swirls. And, you know, we would throw it in these feeding stripers and pull the fly back, and there'd be a big swirl in back of the fly.
Hmm.
And I said, Lefty, something's wrong because these fish can catch anything. We can't pull that fly fast enough.
Right.
That they're going, that they can't get hooked up. I said, they're refusing this fly. Wonder what's going on. He says, well, Bobby, just think like a predator. He said, do you think any of them ever had a minnow that they were chasing stop and say, go ahead and eat me? He said, your fly never stops moving on the retrieve.
It doesn't.
And that made more sense to me than anything, of which most of the strikes that we get from the stripers and the other bass family is during the pause of the retrieve. And that's when the fly stops during your strip and starts to fall.
Right.
Slide off to the side, drop straight down. It has the trait of an escaping bait fish.
Okay.
That's pretty much what I can sum up on that thing.
Yeah.
And I also found over the years that weighted flies that have weight in them are way much more effective than unweighted. And that's under certain conditions and certain other species, too. So
well,
there's a place for both flies, unweighted and weighted. But the weighted flies just seem to get a lot more fish.
That's interesting. You talked about stripers. I was thinking it's a dock light fly for me, but mm-hmm. I've caught stripers on it. I even caught walleye up in Canada last summer on them.
We can do that here in the Susquehanna River with a sinking line.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Get into these deeper waters and tease that thing, you know, fast strip and pause it across the bottom, and the walleyes pick it up pretty quick.
Yeah, I was amazed. I was like, I'm taking my fly rod up here. I'm going to fish for pike and all that. And you know, the walleye were just one after another on jig. I was, I bet I can get a walleye to bite. And I did. I had a 6-weight sinking striper line and a white clouser with some flash on it and dropped that thing down. And, of course, let that line go all the way down. I could feel the bottom coming across.
Yep.
And sure enough, about 2 or 3 strips. And we were early. We were early June, so the water just actually come unfrozen. And you just kind of felt like you'd hooked a stick fish, you know?
Yeah, I know.
That was the walleye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a couple of guys that moan and groan every time we would be bass fishing and they get a hold of a walleye. They're going, I don't want this thing. You know, it don't fight all that. Well, when you start getting them 29 or 30 inches, then you start getting some weight on the line.
That's exactly right.
Well, hey, you bet.
Why tie it upside down?
it's not tied upside down. The hook rides what most people call upside down because of the weight on the shaft.
Right.
It turns the hook over. And if you look at the fly, I only have one fly that has a dark belly, and it's the yellow over chartreuse.
Okay.
Which is a very deadly pattern. Everything else that you'll see on them flies has a dark back and a light-colored belly on the bottom. And the reason that I think there's a big advantage of it riding, if you want to call it with the hook up.
Okay.
The fly doesn't snag near as quick either.
Yeah,
can walk that thing over a lot of branches.
Yes, you can.
And as long as you don't jerk on it. You know, most of the flies get caught if we... The jerk on the one end jerks on the fly.
Sure.
That's what happens there.
But you're right. Yeah. It just rides up and over things and doesn't hang up near as much. It's genius.
Yeah.
Genius. How did you become a fly fisherman? I know I kind of skipped around a little bit on some of the questions I sent you. How did you become a fly fisherman?
That's right. My dad gave me a fly tying kit when I was 14 years old. And that's... back then, you know, we only ever got one or two things for Christmas, and that was all well deserved, and we were all happy with that stuff. And one year I got a basketball, and I found out I wasn't too good with basketball, so I ended up, he got me a fly tying kit, and man, that just stuck with me ever since. And
really?
Yes, and that's one of the, that's how I got started in developing flies, and I like to tie my own flies to try to fool fish with them.
Sure. And it's it's been with you your whole life and taking you from...
Oh, my gosh, and
goodness.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, you're still doing
it. Still doing it, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You got a fly. You have a fly shop there in Pennsylvania.
I did have. I have just because of my age, I went into strictly mail order.
Okay.
I had this shop open. I guess I opened it up in 1980 or something like that. And,
okay.
It did good. My son, and I worked on this thing for years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to get to the Shallow Water Expo, but I've got to ask you. Just a fun question. You know, I love to fly fish. I've been a few places. But if you had a bucket list place that you thought was just the place to go, where would it be and what fish would you go after?
You know, everybody I talk to asks me that hard question. And to be fair with you, every species that's out there, you will learn something different from them all. They all feed different. They all have preferred habitats. And I'm still in the learning mode. So you just give me any species, and that's where I'm going.
That's where you're going.
Yeah. And so, but to be truthful with you, my home waters here, the Susquehanna River, if I had one choice, we have a very bad pollution problem on the Susquehanna, which is affecting the populations of all types of fish in the river.
Okay.
And but if I had one choice, I would like to fish that the last year of my life and experience what I did when I was a kid on that river when it was pristine and full of life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you fished that river then?
Since I was old enough, my parents let me go. So let's just say maybe when I turned 16, I was allowed to use my dad's boat.
Very cool. Very cool. Wow.
So, mm-hmm. And I'll be 78 next birthday. So, you know, I've been on that river a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're coming to the Shallow Water Expo. It's in Charleston, South Carolina, which is, you know, redfish, flounder, you know, mm-hmm. We get the Spanish mackerel, sharks, tarpon, whatever. You're coming down for the Shallow Expo. What are you going to be doing while you're here?
I reserved 2 days to go fishing.
Well, good for you. As you should.
Yeah, you bet. And with a pocket full of clowns.
There
too,
you go.
So.
who are you going to go with? Do you know yet?
Yes. One of the friends that I met years ago at a couple of events, his name is Paul Puckett. I don't know if
you Oh, yes.
Agree.
Paul Puckett, fine art. Oh, I know him very well.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah,
you
saw
bet.
Him saw him last week at Siwi and talked to him for a little bit. Yeah.
He's a nice gentleman.
Oh, he is.
And if I don't catch any fish, it's not his fault.
Oh, I was fixing to say it would be his fault.
No, I don't. The only way it would be his fault if I wouldn't listen to him.
I gotcha.
You know how that works.
It's I know how that works. Were you in on the year of the one fly with Puckett last year?
No, I wasn't with that. No, I didn't get into that.
You need to ask him about it. He spent all of 2015 fishing with an Everglades special.
Oh, for God's sake.
And you need to ask him about it because there's some, and he caught a ton of fish on that thing.
Wonderful.
But you'll have to ask him about the permit. That's the one you need to ask him about.
Okay. I won't forget that either.
Well, you're going to be there. I know you're doing some general session tying where you'll be at a community table.
Fly tying demonstrations at a table, yes. And
okay.
I would have loved to have did some fly casting on how to cast weighted flies and lines.
Right.
I understand that Temple Fork Outfitters will have a booth there, and I'll be working in and out of that booth also.
Good. And you got a really cool thing you're doing. And I looked last night. I think there are two spots left. You're actually doing a class with just six people.
Yes. Yes. I don't like more than six or eight.
Okay.
If you get too many in a tying class, what happens sometimes that we've got beginners, and that's why we try to separate, you know, and get somebody that has a little experience, because one fella, and it's not his fault, can kind of distract the whole class waiting and get sure. caught up. And if we have only six or eight, that gentleman can be taken care of.
Okay.
If you got 10 or 15 people, and the guy that really needs the help, you don't have time to help him.
Sure.
And that's why we don't, take as many, so we can help everybody that's there.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, CCA is the beneficiary of this.
Everybody gets a fair shake.
There you go. And you can, like I said, I think there are two spots open. And if you're listening to the show, you got a week mm-hmm. to sign up and you can make that class. Because it's an hour-long class with five other people and Bob Clouser, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I always say, how many of you guys tie the Clouser middle? And they all will raise their hand. And I'll say, okay, let's check and see if you're doing it the right way.
And only you could...
Do you have a minute for a good story on this?
Sure, come on.
I was demonstrating at a table. This was years ago, maybe 15 years ago, demonstrating at a show at a table, and I was tying the Clouser Midnight. I didn't have a name tag on my vest. So a gentleman walked up to the table and put both hands down on it and leaned in front of like six guys that were there. And he's looking at me tying this, and he goes, huh, that's not the way you tie the Clouser Minnow. And I kind of didn't know what to say, because Lefty Craven's at that show, too. And I thought, oh, Lefty sicked this guy on me is what he did. But I wanted to keep this as honest as possible, so I just looked up at him, and I said, well, sir, how do you tie the Clouser Minnow? He says, well, not that way. He said, I was in fly tying class last week. That's not the way you tie the Clouser Minnow. And he just walked away from us.
Wow. Had no clue who he was talking to.
He walked away. Yeah, and the guys looked at me and he said, Bob, he didn't get it. I said, yeah, don't tell him either.
No, just let him go. Oh, me.
Yeah. That was cool.
That is a cool story.
I never forgot that.
Nah. And he never was the wiser, you know, until he probably looked your picture up and finally realized on his own who he was talking to.
Yeah, probably. Probably later on it shocked you a little.
He's probably avoiding you to this day, too.
nobody ever asked me that since that either. So.
Yeah, that's right. CCA is the beneficiary of the expo down in Charleston. Talk just a minute. I mean, you fished all over the world, probably got a better feel for conservation and freshwater, saltwater fisheries, things are going. Talk just a minute about conservation, if you would.
Well, for some unknown reason, it's taken a backseat. Every place I have been, there's been a decline in the fishery. Or decline in the area due to some type of pollution or some kind of big money-making event that's controlled by politics. And politics is getting into our outdoor enjoyment. And actually, I don't like it because it's actually taken away. It has taken away my enjoyment of the Susquehanna River from when it was pristine to what it is now. And so conservation efforts are well worth getting into and try to hold on to what we have or had in nature.
And it's our responsibility to do that. You know, it's the people that use the resource.
Yeah, nobody else is going to help you but the people that like the resource, yes. Yep. And you got to make noise.
Yeah, you do. And it's funny, most of the fishermen and hunters that I know, they're conservationists, but they don't get involved. You know, they don't
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
I was told by a senator one time, and it made a lot of sense to me. He said, if you guys would all stick together, you can get what you want.
Yep. We splinter out, though.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have, you go in and fight for something, and you got a group of three people that want something different, and you got 100 people that is trying to improve it. Them three people went out over the other 100.
Yep, that's exactly right. We see that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And there's where if everybody sticks together, you can have what you want. That was right out of that senator's mouth, and I can understand that.
Yeah, true.
They don't want to lose them three votes.
But they'll sacrifice the 100 of us to get those three votes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sacrifice 100, yeah. Yeah.
You see it all the time, too. I mean, you're seeing it in Florida with the
Ducks. I understand now there's a big catastrophe going on down there, which shouldn't even be at all.
Yeah. But it's happening. Well, look, you've got a couple of books out there. If anybody wants to learn how to tie the clouser the right way. you got the Clouser fly fishing for smallmouths. You're going to be in Charleston. If anybody's got that book, would you have a minute to sign it if they showed up and brought the book with them?
That's not going to be any problem at all. I would love to do that.
Very cool. Well, I promise you, I won't come over and tell you how to tie your own fly. How's that? That's hilarious.
You can do that.
That story will stick with me for the rest of my life.
Well, it's a laugh riser when I go places and tell these people about that. You know?
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's pretty cool.
So you're gonna be tying a couple of hours on Saturday, and then you have the private class on Saturday. You'll be there a little bit Sunday. You fishing before the weekend
afterwards.
Or after?
After the event.
After.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if everything works out well, I will see you there.
All right. Hey, well, thanks a lot. I sure appreciate this.
You're very welcome. And
you know, and you folks come to this show. It's a very important show. Has a lot to do with the conservation efforts of the group supporting it, and also some of the greatest entertainment that you're going to probably have in the area will be there,
including Mr. Bob Clouser.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm going to be there.
You will be. And I appreciate your willingness to come on and everything, and I look forward to meeting you next weekend.
That'll be good. And I'm going to practice how to tie this clouser minnow before I get there so I do it the right way.
You be sure to do that. Thank you, Mr. Clouser.
All right, old friend. You take care of
yourself.
Yes, sir.
Now. Same to you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. I don't know about you, but I'd love to spend a day fishing with him. Just, I mean, when he cut off at the end, he said, by my old friend. I've never talked to Mr. Clouser before in my life, but he's the type guy. I mean, you heard it, you know, you could get on a boat with him and he'd be your best friend in 5 minutes. Really cool. You just don't know what to do when you get to rub shoulders with people like that you've looked up to your whole life. You used his flies and now you're going to get to meet him. That's just cool. That's next weekend in Charleston. Don't miss it if you're Saturday and Sunday. Be a good, be a little road trip. I think we might even make that road trip. So anyway, hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Casey Ashton on the other side and see what he's been doing that off season. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's a wonderful day in live radio. We're trying to get a hold of Casey. He's probably out fishing, if I know Casey. He's probably out trying to break in his new boat, which all of them are trying to do right now. They're all posting, oh, we're just out here riding around and breaking in new boats. Wish that was my problem, breaking in a new boat every year. But anyway, I've got... We had the National Archery in Schools program. I started to say NASTRA, NASTRA Shoot to Retrieve Association, which is bird dogs. Too many acronyms in this business. National Archery in School program. My daughter's involved, and Taylor's here with me.
Hey, everybody.
She had a regional. This is her first year on the team. She made the competition team. There are five regionals across the state of South Carolina. Anderson was the fourth one, your first tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like?
It was really fun. I was walking into it, was very nerve-wracking, seeing all the people in the stands, just thinking, if I make one wrong move, they're going to all see me and start, you know, thinking bad things about me. But I guess since I got in there, I got really relaxed with my friends, and it was just really, really fun.
Trust me, there are, how many, 50 targets? and nobody's going to know where you shoot unless they got a pair of binoculars. But anyway, she did really well. Nerves, you know, first tournament, I can understand. You kind of have to go back to that, you know, clear the mechanism type deal.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I talked to Ryan Bass a little bit and Kim Leverage. Both of them were there along with a bunch of other DNR people who, man, they do a great job with this program. It's like Ryan said, he says, you don't see how many days or hours go into setting this up and making sure everything is ready to go for the 8 hours those kids are shooting. But in the NAS program across the state of South Carolina, there are 55,000 kids. That's an incredible number of people. 55,000 school kids in South Carolina shoot in just the NAS program. Now, they have a NASP 3D program, too, that's separate from this. So there's another archery program out there that's, you know, shooting 3D targets and not the little square targets y'all shoot in your competition. But it was really good. And I'll run down. I'm going to let Taylor talk just a minute because she's got a couple things she wants to say. But I wanted to run down, at least in this regional, which is, like I said, there's five of them. There's one more at Mid-Carolina. And then we've got the state tournament coming up middle of next month in Sumter, South Carolina. Then you've got, of course, Nationals in Louisville, Kentucky. And then you've got Worlds, which this year in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I don't know why you're smiling.
Because it's June. It's beach weather.
Oh, no. You ought to know by now how much I dislike going to Myrtle Beach.
It's a beach.
It's a beach.
It's a beach. I'm okay with the beach.
You're okay with any beach?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So that explains a lot of it. But anyway, I want to run through the top three in each division. There's an elementary division, a middle school division, a high school division. And congratulations to all these kids. When you talk to someone about NASP who is in the administration or whatever, they talk about how well these kids act once they're into it and the discipline, self-control, and you really see it in these tournaments. But anyway, congratulations to all the kids. In the elementary division, your third runner-up was Townville Elementary. Second place was Mount Lebanon, and first place was LaFrance. And I'm talking, these kids are... They're what, 8, 9, 10 years old?
But some of these scores were amazing.
Yeah, just some kids can shoot the lights out, let me tell you what. That's the elementary. Middle school, third place was Riverside High. Now, this is not the Riverside here in Greenville County. This is Anderson County. Hickory Tavern was second place. And your team, Upstate Homeschool Hurricanes, took first place middle school.
Nobody was expecting it at all.
No, I wasn't expecting it either. Which kind of really caught me by surprise when y'all were announced.
I started crying because I was just like, you know, the only one that had faith in us that really was sure we could make it was Coach Patrick. And I, like, was so happy that he was happy.
Yeah, the Pusateris do a great job with this program for this team and number one cheerleaders and number one critic at the same time, helping y'all get ready for this. High schoolers, third place went to Pendleton High, second place Lawrence District 55, and first place high school, Upstate Homeschool Hurricane. So your team took first place middle and first place high school.
Yep. It was a great day.
It was a great day. The Upstate Hurricanes are ranked number one in the state, both middle school and high, with, like I said, one regional qualifier left to go. And... You had something that Ryan Bass said never happened in South Carolina NASP tournament history happened at this tournament. You want to tell us what it was?
Oh, yes. One of my friends, Christiana Pusateri, she got a 298, set a state record.
A perfect score in NASP is 300. You shoot three rounds of five arrows at 10 meters, which is what, 33 feet? and a meter, about 1.3 feet or 1.3 yards or something like that. And then you shoot three rounds at 15. Now you have a practice round at 10 and then three scoring rounds. A practice round and at 15 and then three scoring rounds at 15. And she shot a 298, which means she missed the 10 ring twice.
She is just an amazing archer.
She is good. She's good, but she practices.
She does, yes.
And that's the key to this whole thing is practice.
And I was told that after awards, somebody came up to her, asked her what she does when she has a bad day. She said, I don't have bad days. I do my best every day. It may not be what I want it to be, but I have done my best, and that's all that matters. And I think that's just an amazing quote, and I'm like, that'll go on forever. And it goes with any sport, anything you do every day. Just do your best.
That's what I try to tell you. Why don't you listen?
I do.
You do.
I do.
You're a lot like your mother. you didn't get a lot of this from me, I don't think. You might have gotten the outdoor thing, but doing your best you got from your mom. But anyway, the program's great. Like I said, there's if you're interested in Sumter, South Carolina, it's kind of the middle of the state. And I forget the dates. I've got them on my calendar here. But it's you go through these regionals, then you get into the state shoots. And right now, y'all are qualified for state.
Yes.
Which means they will shoot in Sumter, and that tournament is the 22nd through the 24th of March. From there, you'll know whether you qualify for Louisville, which is the Nationals. Mm-hmm. The Nationals are always held in Louisville because the National Archery and School Program started with the Kentucky Division of Wildlife. Mm-hmm. That's where this whole thing started. So every year, Nationals is in Kentucky. Worlds this year is in Myrtle Beach, and since you qualified for state, y'all are automatically qualified for Worlds as the host
state.
Does that make you nervous?
Well, I think so. Being through my first competition, it was hard, but now I know what it takes, so I can focus more on my shooting than on my nerves.
Yeah. You know, we were at Nationals last year, because Nationals last year coincided with the Quality Deer Management and the National Deer Alliance Convention in Louisville. Yeah, teams there from Alaska, out west. It was really neat. Now, you're going to have teams from all over the world here this time around.
Yes.
You haven't been exposed to that before. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And I can tell you as a parent, having watched the change in her over the last year, being part of something, being a team member, and it's a commitment. I mean, we...
It is.
There are 24 members of the competition team, both the middle school and high school. And it's a commitment. It's not... I think I'm going to go shoot this week, and I'm not going to know. Yeah. You have to be there at every practice. Mm-hmm. It's serious practice. The exercises you do before and after, it's a total body conditioning type program.
Yes,
and there again, we know we're going to have to go to Sumter. Mm-hmm. So it's not just her commitment; it's the family's commitment. You have to give some props to the families who are behind this.
Yes, you do.
Because it's a lot. Because these tournaments are during the week. It's not like your Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, your Saturday, Sunday. It's, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or a Wednesday, mm-hmm. or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you don't know when you're going to shoot at these tournaments.
Yeah.
You have to make your reservations for 4 or 5 days. And, you know, they're going to be shooting one day out of those 4 or 5 days. So, but yeah, I encourage you, if you have a child and... they're not really the football type, the basketball type, the baseball type. This is something they could get involved with because you just took to it.
It's an amazing sport.
What's funny, though, is the boys that won down there, you could tell they lived in the woods. This was second nature to them. Hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side and finish up the show. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Always an adventure here. You never know who you're going to hear, from Bob Clouser to my 11-year-old daughter. But right now, we've got on the phone with us Mark Gentert. I got a call yesterday from a friend of mine in Anderson and said, hey, there's a big high school tournament coming, and they're going to be at Cabela's tonight for registration, tournament tomorrow at Green Pond Landing. And so I said, hey, I need to talk to these people. So I called Mike, and he's good enough to come on the show. Mike, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. I always appreciate the opportunity to get on the radio and talk to people about high school fishing.
Which is an area what I haven't had much exposure to. I kind of got swept along with the FLW and the BASS guys and the college guys, and I know the high school's out there, so this is a great opportunity for me as well. Tell us who you are, who you're with, and what you're doing this weekend.
Good deal. Hey, and again, we really do appreciate it. The Bass Federation, which is the largest and oldest grassroots fishing organization in the United States, along with our partners, the FLW Outdoors, have developed a program called the Student Angler Federation, and this is our sixth year of doing high school state championships around the country.
Okay.
It started from nothing, and in going into our sixth year, we are approaching 20,000 high school anglers across the United States are in this program, and about 1,500 school and community clubs. We run about 60 high school events for them, a state championship in every state, 5 national opens, some regional competition, a national championship, and the granddaddy of them all for us is an event called the High School World Finals, which is like a giant open tournament that we have every year in July.
Wow. And so 20,000, I was just talking to my daughter, we got 55,000 kids in South Carolina shooting the National Archery and School Program, and now we've got 20,000 kids bass fishing. It sounds like most of the industry has it right. You got to get those kids out there and involved before they get so busy in life they won't pick it up on their own.
Well, you're absolutely correct. When we started this program, we set out with a couple of goals. First of all, we felt that we'd lost a complete generation of anglers through starting with probably the mid to late 90s all the way through the early 2000s. We just, from the adult membership side, we just started to see our numbers start to dwindle, and it's just because there were not any up-and-coming kids in the outdoors. Now, people can blame everybody they want, electronic media and toys and gadgets and everything else, but the bottom line is, you know, it's probably more of a breakdown of the family unit, and there's
sure.
just fewer and fewer people to get kids out and get them involved with fishing.
Right.
So our program, we started our program with the intent we want to get kids off the couch and back into the great outdoors. And so I was a former school board member myself in Ohio where I grew up, and so we built this program to try to make this a sport that we could bring into high schools across the country, similar to bowling and archery and everything else, and get it up and get it started. And it's taken a little while to go on, but we've got good roots now, and we're making great progress.
How many high school, do you know right off the top of your head, how many high school teams we have in South Carolina now?
You know, and I don't have that exact number in front of me. We've got about 80 high school teams registered for this event for this weekend, or 80 boats, so that probably represents probably 38 to 40 different schools or community clubs.
Okay.
And some are coming from Georgia, some are coming from North Carolina, some from Tennessee. This is one of our 5 national opens.
Okay.
So we're working with our great partner in Cabela's here in Greenville for registration tonight, and they've got some discount coupons for the kids, and we'll do the whole deal here. Get them signed in, have a quick rules meeting, let them enjoy the store. I think they might even have a little pizza for them. So we're going to have a fun time here tonight, and then we're going to be right back out in Anderson at Green Pond Landing and send them out tomorrow, and the weigh-in will be at 3 o'clock, and it will be exciting, I'll guarantee it.
Now, what's the format? Is it pretty much follow the every other bass competition where they – yeah, you launch, you have about 8 hours to fish, 5 fish limit, 12 inch on Hartwell. That's pretty much the way it works.
Yep, very similar deal, except we fish them very similar to college program. We fish them as a 2-person team.
Sure.
So they're catching 1 5 bass limit for the team. Obviously, we're gonna weigh those heaviest 5. We're catching black bass only, so it's largemouth, smallmouth, spotted bass, depending on what Lake Hartwell has to offer. 12 inch size limit. They're going to bring in their 5 best fish. We're going to weigh them. We bring them up on a stage with a great facility here, and we weigh them in and interview them just like they're, Brett Ehler, Kevin Van Dam, Mike Iaconelli, or whoever it is. And so that's a big part of what I do. I think that is a great learning tool for them. I tell people this is the same as your very first job interview. And so this is a great chance for you to learn how to represent yourself and do a little public speaking.
Sure, which is important no matter if you continue bass fishing or you get a job in the corporate world or you just, whatever. You got to have that ability to talk about yourself, communicate well, and it's never too early to start, although I'm sure some of those kids walking across that stage are nervous as cats.
Well, I give them a little bit of advice. Throughout the rules meeting, the last thing I'll tell them is I said, look, if you get up here and you forget everything, you better thank God, your mom, and your boat captain. If you do those 3 things, something good's going to happen to you on the way home.
and that's something that you just the boat captain, because obviously the FLWBASS guys and the tournament fishermen, they have their boats and all that. College guys will have someone's boat and they drive it themselves and all. But for the high schoolers, for every team, you got to have a guy driving the boat for them.
Absolutely. We've got somebody in that boat, 19 years of age or older, that's chaperoning them around, who is not fishing. That boat captain's job is there primarily for safety. He operates the combustion motor 100% of the time. Now, he can give them advice and coach them up all he wants. He can help them net fish, but he's not to pick up a fishing rod and use a fishing rod. So it's a tough day. It's a long day for the boat captain. But when you talk to most of them, once they get involved with high school fishing, it's very rewarding, and they kind of get hooked themselves. And we see same boat captains coming back time and time again.
Now, this year, where's the granddaddy of them all in July?
Yep, our High School Fishing World Finals. And, again, that's a huge open tournament that all of our 20,000 members are invited to come to. Don't have to qualify to come.
Okay.
You just got to get yourself, and it's going to be in Florence, Alabama, fishing on Pickwick Reservoir. We went there. We were in 5 years in Russellville, Arkansas. Last year, we moved it to Florence and had a great response. We had 170 teams from 22 different states attend that event. And
wow.
I tell people it's a four-day-long carnival of fishing. If you make the final day, you get 4 days of fishing, and everybody's guaranteed 3 days of competition.
That's great. That is great. So y'all got registration tonight at Cabela's. Tomorrow morning, got blast off, what, 7 o'clock?
7 a.m. at the Green Pond Landing, and you'll see them all lined up in the water there, and these guys do a great job. They know the routine, and you'll think you're watching a pro event the way they go out in the morning.
And start coming back in at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
Yes, sir. 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, that first light will be in. We'll start weighing fish in by 3:15, and we'll get them all back in and weigh them in and have a champion. And the top three teams from this event are going to advance on to our Southeast Conference Regional Championship, and that will take place in September.
Very nice. Now, for this would be a good opportunity because you got elementary kids, you got some high schoolers who probably don't go to a school, maybe don't go to a school that has a bass team, or maybe didn't get to fish this event. This is a good opportunity for them to go out and learn more about the program.
Absolutely. I'd invite everybody to come out. First of all, they're fun. Watching these kids bring their fish in, watching them on stage, the progress they've made with their stage presence over the last 4 or 5 years is just terrific. We've got some adults who could take a lesson from some of these kids. And it's a fun event. You get to see kids. They're not out here trying to win $10,000. They're trying to advance on and move on to our regional competition and eventually our national championship. It's a lot like the NCAA basketball tournament.
Okay.
We're fishing for trophies, plaques, and medals. Someone's going to get to move on, and it's going to be a great opportunity. It's an early bird event, so we'll then come back and have an individual state championship in North Carolina, an individual championship in South Carolina, and one in Georgia as well. So this is one of two qualifying opportunities they've got, and we're excited to have them all here.
Well, welcome to South Carolina.
We've done a lot with Neil Paul and the city of Anderson.
Yeah.
This is, I don't know how many tournaments I've run here, but it's been several, and he is just a terrific guy to deal with. And I can't stress to people enough what a great town the city of Anderson is, and what a great corporate partner Cabela's is for us. Between the two of those, it just makes this a match made in heaven for the Bass Federation and the FLW.
And it helps to have a lake like Lake Hartwell, too.
Oh, it's a tremendous body of water. And I've run tournaments on both on Kiawe, Hartwell, and on Lake Russell, and I've loved them all.
Yeah, it's a good chain of lakes. We're, South Carolina is really blessed with a lot of good fishing. We are.
Absolutely.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you coming on. I look forward to meeting you here in just a couple hours, and hopefully if everything goes all right, I'll be down there to see you weigh in tomorrow afternoon.
Fantastic. And, again, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to spread the word. Big place to go if you're interested in high school fishing. You can go to that website, highschoolfishing.org. That's kind of the starting spot. If you're interested in starting a school club, that's where you go. There's a request for information and all kinds of details. You can see about kids winning college scholarships, all kinds of things on that website. So it's a great place to go and get started.
Very good. I look forward to meeting you very soon.
All right. Take care now. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there's an opportunity for all the kids out there who like to fish, It's a lazy Sunday afternoon drive down to Green Pond Landing at Lake Hartwell. Watch weigh in, see some nice boats. I've walked one tournament stage, I guess, at ICAST, which was really fun. It was like a media fun tournament. I think it was 3 hours fishing. But you came across, did they? And I was amazed how nervous I was. And then here, 3 weeks from today, About three, yeah, 3 weeks from today, 4 weeks from today. 4 weeks from today, or Thursday, if I catch anything, I'll walk the regular FLW stage. It's going to be kind of cool. It's okay to be excited about this, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. It's a big thing. Okay. Obviously, Casey didn't make it. We'll catch up with him later on. But a year ago today was, of course, Friday, which dawned very cold on Lake Hartwell for the 2015 Bassmaster Classic. The temperature was 9 degrees. If you missed those few shows after where we talked about it, I rode with Skeet Reese for the day as his media marshal, or his marshal. I guess at the Classic we have media marshals. Other times they're just regular marshals. And, you know, we were sitting at the dock. We were second in line. Randy Howell was next to us, was first in line, being the prior year champion, I guess. And then Skeet was right next to him. And as soon as I got down there, Skeet had a portable, one of those heater buddies on his boat, and burned his seat. So he had this big melted spot on the seat of his boat trying to keep warm. And they started calling out, you know, boats to launch, and Randy backed up and swung out, and Skeet backed up, and he backed up and went forward, backed up, went forward, and he turned and looked at me, and he goes, "This could be a problem, but steering's frozen up." So it's rather auspicious start to his tournament. But we got things straightened out, blasted off down the lake. I think he caught a fish on his first cast. Got excited, caught a fish a few casts later, and he took off his, he had a full head cover, and he took that thing off. Man, his cheeks were beet red. He was sweating. And the funniest thing I said to him all day, he told me beforehand, he said, "Now, you know, let me start the conversation. Give me that first hour or two to catch some fish and get into rhythm." He said, "We'll have a fun day, you know, from catching fish. If I don't catch fish, you're going to have a long, hard day in the back of the boat." So he caught two really quick, and it went about 20 minutes before he, you know, his ears were red and his cheeks were red and everything. And I was sitting in the back of the boat, and I hadn't said probably five words to him all day. And something inside me said, you'd say something. I said, "Skeet," I said, "you know, if your mother were here right now, she'd tell you to put that head cover back on." And he turned around and looked at me, and I said, "Uh-oh, I've said the wrong thing." And he laughed, and he said, "Yeah, you're probably right. Put it back on." So that was one of the, you know, I really thought about punting and staying home that day, but that was one of the best days I have ever had on the water, just watching somebody else fish. Ended up in first place that day with 20 pounds. It was a good luck charm, because he blanked the next day, I think. Oh, me. Somewhere right now, on Earth, Chuck Norris is slaying a dragon. Hey, y'all have a good one. Make time to get out of there. Don't forget to take the back roads when you can. And keep that camera on the seat next to you. I'll see you next week. In my mind.